pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 4 states. Head to cut.com, that's KUTC.com, and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Nordic Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports fan research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is currently Friday morning, roughly 9 a.m. Eastern Time on March 29th. I'm your host, as always, Scott Rochelle, once again going solo for this pod. Should be a fun episode, maybe a bit shorter than usual because we only have two matches to talk about because it is semifinal time in Miami. Two very good matches as you're looking at Medvedev against Sinner at around 3 p.m. Eastern, and then after that you end up having Dimitrov against Zverev in the late night match, which should be around 7 p.m. Eastern time. So two good matches. We're going to preview both of them. Before we get into any of that, do want to take care of some housekeeping. I want to start off by reminding everybody to like and subscribe on YouTube. Also, a reminder to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. Looking for more reviews. I know I got one about a day or so ago. So, once again, it's been a while since we've had multiple reviews in the span of about a week, and I'm trying to get that bumped up a little bit. So, if you do follow the show on Spotify or Apple, don't forget to leave a review. Same on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I believe we finally passed 100 subscribers. So, thank you to everyone who's already subscribed. And if you do like the show, hopefully you do click that button and you join us in the future. You also want to check out the merch store for Tennis Gambling Podcast merch on the SGPN store. So if you don't want to support the show, I do know that they have shirts for the Tennis Gambling Podcast, mugs, etc. So you can get yourself a piece of merch to support the show. Now, a reminder, we are sponsored or brought to you by the SGPN Network. And to talk about the actual shows that the company has, everything is free. It's all gambling-based. And SGPN is home to 20-plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. And in honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gam Podcast flagship show on SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stack of the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game, ATS, since 2012. There's also the College Basketball Experience with Kobe and with Ryan and with Noah. And they're going to cover the NCAA tournament really, really in depth every single day. On top of that, you also can subscribe to those shows wherever you get your podcasts. And you can, of course, follow along March Madness. And we know it's a lot more fun when you're following with bets in addition to your brackets, which might already be destroyed. So either way, that's going to do it for the actual housekeeping stuff. Now it's time to recap what happened in the quarters for our picks. Unfortunately, did not work out for either the lock or the dog. We were pretty close in hindsight, but just could not get there. The lock kind of hurt as we had Mokic +5.5 at -140. Did the unthinkable, tried to fade Sinner. Looked good early as the first set ended 6-4, so we were actually on good pace. We just needed Mokic to not get totally destroyed in the second set, and unfortunately he did. Got broken twice in that set. I believe he was up 30 love both times in those service games, and he eventually lost to the second set 6-2 as Mokic lost by 6 games. So lost by a hook there, pretty rough, good start, bad finish, but either way, picked up a loss there. For the dog, ended up having the over 10.5 games in the first set of the Jari and Medvedev match. That was not close in the first set because Medvedev came out and immediately destroyed Jari. The reason why it was a bit unfortunate was because the second set, had no breaks and ended up going to a tiebreak. So unfortunately, we did get the angle right of expecting at least one long set. But unluckily for us, that was in the second set, not the first one, as the first set was pretty straightforward in favor of Medvedev. So I picked up an 0-2 day there in the quarters. We'll try to get back on track in the semis. But to get into the recap of the quarterfinals, it was kind of weird once again with the scheduling because they had two matches taking place on Wednesday and then two matches on Thursday. Not sure why they broke up the actual quarters into 2 days, but whatever, not my problem. Either way, I mentioned Sinner already, as he got the job done in straight sets against Makic, and you ended up seeing Medvedev get the job done against Jarry. Jarry was serving a lot better in the second set, did use some serve and volley tactics. I don't think he used it enough, but Jarry, we know, has underrated hands at the net, a couple of really nice drop volleys, and as a result, he was able to neutralize the Medvedev return game in the second set. Almost had a shot there to win the breaker. Did go to Medvedev 9-7. So Jarry had some chances, but either way, had no actual set points in the breaker, but he was able to prolong the match before eventually losing. Either way, though, point is, Jarry looked fine. Not good enough to be Medvedev, but I thought he should have come to the net more, and he kind of took too long to do so, and that was one thing that I did notice from that match. Besides that, though, getting into the other quarterfinal matches, I mean, from Thursday, you had the shocker of the round, which was Alcaraz losing pretty convincingly to Dimitrov. Dimitrov went god mode for about an hour as Dimitrov won the first set 6-2. Then it looked like he was going to run away with it in a very lopsided scoreline as Dimitrov was up 4-1 in the second set as well. And you kind of thought, well, this might turn into 6-2, 6-2. You thought it might be an absolute destruction. Then Alcaraz made a run. Dimitrov ended up getting broken. And you saw Alcaraz win three straight games to get back to level. Then Dimitrov held a pretty tough service game there at 4-4 to go up 5-4. And then he converted his first match point on Alcaraz's serve and won the second set 6-4. But Alcaraz was in great form winning Indian Wells, ended up winning the first couple of matches here convincingly. And then Dimitrov showed up and said, this is my time now. And Dimitrov destroyed him. So definitely one of those matches where Alcaraz could have played better. But to be honest, Dimitrov just took it to him, and Dimitrov looked extremely sharp the entire match. Couple of dips there maybe in the middle of the second set, but Dimitrov was extremely solid. He was precise, he was aggressive, and he was accurate. And that ended up being the story of the match, as Alcaraz was kind of on the back foot of most of these rallies, and Dimitrov was aggressive, came to the net, was willing to hit his spots, and was willing to really unload on the backhand or even forehand returns on Alcaraz's second serve, which has been a point of emphasis for Alcaraz's coaching. In general, it seems like the coaches have acknowledged the weakness with Alcaraz's serve, so they are trying to address that issue. But as of right now, the second serve is still not exactly up to, I'd say, the standard that the coaches want. And Dimitrov took advantage as he was able to win a bunch of free points on Alcaraz's second serve. To go into the actual stats, though, just for reference, Alcaraz did win 48% of his second serve points, where you ended up seeing, just going through this, it was actually the first serve that kind of let Alcaraz down, as Alcaraz only landed 58% of the first serve points, or first serves, and he ended up only winning 56% of the first serve points, compared to Dimitrov, who won 77% of the first serve points. But either way, a couple of big moments there in that second set, where the second serve of Alcaraz did let him down, and Dimitrov did win the match comfortably. As for the other matchup, you had Zverev beating Morozin. I did think Zverev would win. I thought it'd be competitive, and it kind of was, as it was 6-3, 7-5. But Zverev was really never in that much danger. Morozin did have a break point at 2-2, could not convert, and Zverev got the job done by eventually breaking in the 6-5 game to win 7-5 in the second. But Zverev never got broken in the match, so Morozin had some chances, two to be exact, could not convert, and you ended up seeing Zverev win the match relatively comfortably. But the point is, you have what should be the makings of a very good semifinal. I know a lot of people might be a little bit salty in hindsight that Alcaraz did not win, because you would have had an insane amount of just quality with Zverev and Alcaraz in one match, and then you have Sinner and Medvedev in the other. But I'm not going to dismiss Dimitrov. He's been great. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. He has completely reinvented himself, and that has been the result of, I'd say, years of, I don't want to say ineptitude, but disappointment. We'll use that term. And he started to be a lot more aggressive. I know that I was calling for it on the show for a couple of years. He's stuck to the new game plan, And it appears that consistently being on the front foot has been the secret to unlocking his upside. And now Dimitrov has been, in my opinion, a top six player in the world this season. He's been really good, and he did win a title earlier. We'll see if he can win a Masters 1000 event for the first time in a long time. Either way, though, time to get into the actual preview of the semifinals. But before we continue that, do you want to take a quick word from our sponsor? We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet, but directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus a ton of social features to give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds so you can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to worry about chasing down your money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And they also have great rewards. Get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at Cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the place to play fantasy sports because it is the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. They have great pick'em games. For example, you can pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in their upcoming games. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And you can also make rivals picks, which pits 2 players against each other. So you can pick which player you think might have more points, for example, in an NBA game. But a reminder that you should also join Underdog Fantasy because they have a lot of very fun markets for tennis. They have, for example, breaks of serve. They have aces. They have a lot of fun tennis options to make matches more interesting. And I recommend you joining the platform in order to take advantage of those opportunities. So sign up today with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them on the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished recapping what happened in the quarterfinals in Miami. Now it's time to preview the actual matches for the semifinals. Going to start off in chronological order, going with the Sinner and Medvedev match. No idea how this is not the late match, but whatever. It is what it is. Sinner is a favorite of about minus 190, and you're looking at Medvedev being around plus 165 the other way. As for the actual game spread here, Sinner -2.5 is minus 120. Medvedev +2.5 is even money. As for the over-under, 22.5, the over is minus 115. The under is set at minus 105. If you want the set wagering, you can find the match to go to 3 sets at around plus 125. You can find the under 2.5 sets at minus 150. If you want Sinner in straight sets, you can find that at plus 145. If you want Medvedev in straight sets, you can find that at plus 350. Now, the head-to-head has been interesting between these two because Medvedev has dominated the head-to-head based on, I'd say, initial success. But recently, Sinner was able to flip the script because Medvedev was 6-0 lifetime, and then everything changed last year as Sinner finally got over the hump in Beijing, and then ended up never losing to Medvedev again, as he ended up beating him in Beijing, in Vienna, in the ATP Finals, and he beat him in the Australian Open Final this year to win his first ever Grand Slam title, as he came back from 2 sets down to win in 5. So Sinner has recently kind of figured out the Medvedev puzzle, that in addition to just improving his overall craft, as Sinner is, in my opinion, the best player in the world right now. But the point is, I do think Sinner is worthy of being a favorite of minus 190. Maybe you could argue that's a bit steep, but the point is, I think it should be definitely Sinner's match to lose. Medvedev, we know, is never going to really change his serving, or I should say his returning position, as he's always going to stand far back on the court. And Sinner has definitely improved his serve, and he has been able to take advantage of Medvedev's deep positioning with his firepower and his somewhat, I'd say, underrated willingness to just unload the forehand and the backhand and to even come to the net when needed. But you're looking at the overall matchup and even the head-to-head. Even though Sinner has won the last couple of matches, these have been close. So the Australian Open match went 5. The ATP Finals match went to a deciding set. Vienna went to a deciding set, and Beijing was 7-6, 7-6. So even though Sinner has won the last four matches, they have been quite competitive. And I do think because of that, 22.5 does feel like a total that is too low. So I do think this is a good spot to consider the over in this match. There's actually a rematch of the final from last year, which Medvedev ended up winning. Sinner had the crazy win against Alcaraz, and then he kind of ran out of gas there in the final against Medvedev. But the point is, Sinner, I think, is a better player than he was compared to last year at this time. And Sinner, we know, has been a dominant player so far in 2024. He's only lost one time, and that was to Alcaraz and Indian Wells. But for me, I do think Sinner's going to win. Do I really want to take the game spread? Not really. I think it should be a close match. Maybe ends up going three. I like the overs, though. Give me the over 22.5 games at minus 115. Maybe the over for team total for Sinner. You can find 12.5. The over's minus 135. So if you want to go for potentially a 7-5 or a 7-6 set somewhere in there, then I do think that makes a lot of sense to take Sinner on the team total. But for the sake of minus 190, I don't want to lay that. And for the game spread, I would lean Sinner, but I think it's going to be a competitive match. So I am going to go with the over as my main thought on that matchup. Now, moving on to the late night matchup, you have Zverev taking on Dimitrov. Sorry, I had a bit of a typo there. As Dimitrov pulled off the upset yesterday, and he got rewarded by being a pretty decent size underdog in this matchup, as Dimitrov is plus 130 and Zverev is around minus 150. For the game spread, Zverev -1.5 games and Dimitrov +1.5 games are both minus 110. And the over-under is set at 24.5. For set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is plus 125. The under is minus 150. And you can find Zverev to win in straight sets at plus 170. Dimitrov to win in straight sets is at plus 275. You might be wondering, Dimitrov just looked like an absolute monster against Alcaraz yesterday. Why is he this big of a dog against Zverev? Main reason, the head-to-head. Zverev has owned Dimitrov in their careers. In fact, they have faced off 8 times, and Zverev is 7-1. Dimitrov won the first meeting back in 2014, which means Dimitrov has not beaten Zverev in roughly 10 years. So that's going to sound like a fake stat, but it's true. Technically, Basel was in October, so it's really like 9.5 years, but still, it's been a long time since Dimitrov has won against Zverev. Last meeting was in, they actually faced off a bunch last year, faced off 4 times, 3 times on hard court, and 1 time on clay. Zverev won all of those meetings, faced off in Chengdu, 1 in straight sets, faced off in the US Open, 1-4, faced off in Cincinnati, 1-3, and faced off in the French Open, and Zverev did win in straight sets. So the main reason why Dimitrov is being disrespected here is because of the head-to-head dominance and Dimitrov not beating this guy for about 9.5 years. Now, Dimitrov was asked about it in the post-match press conference because Zverev already won his match against Morozin, and Dimitrov dismissed it, basically said it's a number, it is what it is, which is the right attitude to have. There's nothing you can really do about it. The point is Dimitrov's going to hope that his new, attacking style of tennis will result in success, and eventually he can find openings in Zverev's stellar defense in order to win this match. Do I think Dimitrov's going to win? I think it's going to be close. It's really tough for me to fully grasp how well Dimitrov played yesterday, because I know what his upside is, but he played flawless tennis for about an hour, and I think with that being the case, you tend to see a lot of players kind of struggle in the match after playing a perfect match, and it felt like Dimitrov played a perfect match. So because of that, I do think that Zverev's going to win. Having said that, do I think these odds are fair? No, I do not. I think that Dimitrov is being disrespected to some degree. I think he should be closer to plus 115 if I had to price it. I think Zverev should be closer, in my opinion, to around minus 135, give or take. 150 feels a bit steep there. I don't see any value at all on Zverev. I think the value is on Dimitrov, but I do think Zverev will find a way to get it done. But similarly to the Sinner and Medvedev match, I am going to lean to the over, because even though the head-to-head has been dominated by one guy for the last basically 9 years, decent amount of close matches, and I'm going to mention that in a little while, but Zverev, I ended up going to a breaker in the second set of Chengdu against Dimitrov. First 2 sets in the US Open were alternating 7-6s. Cincinnati was a blowout. Roland Garros was a blowout, but that was on clay, so I'm going to toss it. Paris in 2021 was 3 sets going through the previous hardcourt match. Zverev beating Dimitrov in Indian Wells. That went 3 sets. Even Basel in 2014 went to 3 sets. So if you want to do the math there, that means that these two have faced off 6 times on hardcourt, and you're looking at each player alternating, or I should say splitting, the first two sets in four of the six. So with that being the case, that tells me that you might end up seeing a close match here, which is why I do like the over in this spot. I do find it interesting, though, that the Sinner totals at 22.5 and these Zverev totals at 24.5. I find that a bit odd, but I'm going to use that as a sign that this might end up going three sets based on where this total is located. So I'm going to go with the over in this one. I think that you're going to see a close match. I do think Zverev eventually is going to outlast Dimitrov in this matchup, but the value is on Dimitrov, and I do think that there's value on the over. So give me the over as my main play in this match. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual, I'd say, preview of the semifinal matches. Did kind of skip a bit of news, though, that I wanted to mention for tennis. So I'm going to quickly do that right now. Main piece of news over the last day or two, Djokovic and Ivanisevic decided to go their separate ways. Ivanisevic did a great job coaching Djokovic, but he decided it was time to make the move. Does he know who his new coach was going to be? Absolutely not. But I thought that the pairing of Djokovic and Ivanisevic was a very, very solid pairing. And unfortunately, they decided to go their separate ways. So we're going to see what happens. They won 12 Grand Slams together. It's one of the most successful player-coach pairings of all time. And we'll see what Djokovic does moving forward. Wanted to mention that because that was a piece of news that I thought was interesting and a little bit out of the blue, because Djokovic has not played for about a week or so after losing early on Indian Wells. And I guess the loss to Nardi was a sign he needed to make a move. So we'll see what happens. Besides that, though, Murray did pull out of Monte Carlo and Munich. Not a shock. He'll be out for a long time with the ankle injury, but he officially did drop out of those two tournaments. But once again, that's going to actually do it for the news portion very quickly. But I wanted to mention the coaching change for Djokovic. Anytime the best player of all time makes a move, I want to mention it. So there you go. But either way, time to get into the actual lock and dog picks for the show. But before we get into any of that, we want to take a quick word once again from our sponsors. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger, betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets. Sports analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary prop optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet, torn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop banging in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the semifinal matches for Miami. Now it's time to get into the actual lock and dog picks for the show. Starting off with the lock, I am going to go with the Medvedev and Sinner matchup, and I think you know where I'm going with this one. I am going to lean to the over 22.5 games. Not really a lean, I'm going to lock that up, actually, at minus 115. First of all, I don't know why this total is 22.5 and the Dimitrov match is 24.5. I can't figure that out for the life of me, but I'm going to take advantage of it, hopefully, with the over in this matchup. Now, I mentioned that Sinner's won four straight, but Each of the last three head-to-head meetings did go to a deciding set, and the exception was a 7-6, 7-6 win by Sinner. So each of the last four matches have gone over, so to speak, the game total for that respective match. And the point is, I do think you're looking at what should be a somewhat longer match based on how these players have looked so far in the event. Sinner got off to a bit of a slow start, has picked it up recently in the last couple of rounds, and Medvedev has been solid after being on the ropes there in that set against Kepfer, where he almost dropped the first set. But the point is, I do think you might end up seeing at least one long set, because five of the last six head-to-head meetings have had at least one 7-5 or 7-6 set. So you might get a decent amount of, I'd say, competitive sets. You might get one marathon set, and if that's the case, you might just win with a simple 7-6, 6-4 scoreline. But I think three sets is actually a decent probability, just based on how these players have looked. Sinner's improved the net, but he's still not exactly a guy who's going to constantly come forward using serving and volleying. So because of that, you might see a lot of baseline rallies, and I do think you might see some ebbs and flows. But even with Sinner's head-to-head dominance over the last year, the matches have been close, and I feel like that is kind of lost in translation. Anytime you hear that one guy won all four meetings last year, it's important to add context, and it's important to actually dive into the score lines. And the matches have been close. So with that being the case, give me the over 22.5 here at minus 115 as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go with the over once again in the other match. I'm going to look at Dmitrov and Zverev. Give me the over 2.5 sets at plus 125. Both players have been really good so far in this event. We saw Dmitrov dominate against Alcaraz, and Zverev has really coasted as he's not dropped a set yet. But you are looking at the competition, and I do think the competition has been a bit weaker than initially anticipated, because Felix, we know, has been kind of a mess for the last couple of weeks. Eubanks, I don't think, is very good, just simply put. Gashanov was a nice win there by Dmitrov. I'll give him props. Zverev, I mean. That's an impressive win, but Gashanov kind of just seemed out of it, so to speak, and Zverev has owned the head-to-head, at least recently, between those two players. And Morozin, I think we'd agree, even though Morozin is a talented young player, facing off against Morozin in the quarters of a Masters 1000 event is, let's say, fortunate is the word I'll use. So the point is, I do think that Dmitrov, based on the tennis that he's played and based on the overall quality of tennis that Zverev has played, I see a close match. And you're looking at the six career hardcore meetings between them. And a reminder that four of the six have gone to a deciding set. So with that being the case, I think you're looking at what should be a pretty competitive match. Now, I do think that at the end of the day, I think Zverev will outlast Dmitrov, but that's irrelevant. The point is, this match could go either way, in my opinion, and I do think with the competitive individual matches between them, even though Zverev has gotten the right side of, has been on the right side of basically all of them, it's kind of similar to Dimitrov's record against Hurkacz, where he wins every meeting, but it always goes to a deciding set. And we saw that earlier in this event in particular. So I think it's a similar story here, where people are going to see the head-to-head, see the fact that Dmitrov has not beaten this guy in roughly 10 years, and go, oh, Zverev should probably dominate. Not so fast. Once again, four of the six hardcore meetings in their careers have gone to a deciding set. So with that being the case, or I should say I've involved them splitting the first two sets, because technically Zverev did beat Dmitrov in four, but they split tie breaks in the first two sets. So let me actually just quickly correct this, but you get the point I'm trying to make. Four of the six career head-to-head hardcore meetings have had each player, or I should say had both players, splitting the first two sets. So the point is, I expect to see a competitive match, a longer match. Give me the over 2.5 sets because of it. So once again, my picks for the show, it's going to be a pair of overs here. I'm going to go with the over into the Medvedev and Sinner match at 22.5 at minus 115 as my lock. For my dog, give me the over 2.5 sets in the Dmitrov and Zverev match at plus 125. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. A reminder, though, that there is going to be a pretty interesting scheduling spot here for Miami, because I believe the men's final is on, I think it's on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So with that being the case, the next episode will actually be a women's preview. We're going to look at the women's final, which should be an interesting one, as you have Collins, who kind of went on a really just dominant run so far here, and she's taking on Rybakina. We know Swiatek did end up losing a couple rounds ago, but it should be a fun matchup. Collins being here, while not dropping a set since the first set against Pera in the first round, Collins has been rolling, so it should be fun. Rybakina has been the opposite. She's gone to a deciding set in four of the first five matches here, so it should be a fun one. We'll preview that matchup probably later tonight, but either way, Until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.